we talked about listing those companies, organizing that list by how much money and who I actually want, and practicing making the phone call and creating that winning offer for them. I love this. It just created a lot of clarity. You've debunked the myth for me, and I needed that.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcaster. It's Adam A. Adams, and today is another coaching call with Julie. Hey, that's what we should call it. It should have its own theme music. Coaching calls with Julie. There should be like a jingle.
I was literally just thinking a little jingle there and have it like
coaching calls. Was your jingle the same as the jingle that I had?
No,
it was. You do yours. Yours was better.
Coaching calls with Julie. You didn't get it. I always believe in always ending on an up note versus a down note. It's just a psychological difference.
I hear you. I hear you.
Coaching calls with Julie. Like, come on, podcasters. Just remember this when you are podcasting. Please always end on an up note.
Always end on an up note?
That's right. Yeah, maybe I didn't even do that in my own sentence.
Am I doing it right?
Yeah, exactly. And now we can all sound like, you know, kids going through puberty.
There's a point to everything we're saying and doing. What's the point? There's two things that we're going to be talking about on this call today. So Julie Holly has been a friend for a long time. And only recently, this is episode number 4 of 12. Wow. 4 of 12 already.
Is that
going too fast?
Oh, good. I was like, oh no, is that
going too fast?
4 of 12, or is that 4 of 12? Like, you know, I'm trying to be.
You know, I'll be honest. Well, first, let me tell the listener what they're going to get out of this episode.
Definitely listen.
They're going to learn how to monetize and get top tier guests, because that's what Julie's going to ask me, and we're going to brainstorm it together. Okay. Now that you know that, it was important, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's a reason why we're saying everything that we're saying.
There's a reason why we're saying everything that we're saying. Don't remember. So let's jump in. Here we go. I don't remember where I was going.
Diving in.
I felt bad that we weren't on the monetization and top tier guests yet. I was like so sad for the listener, because they don't need our banter. They need the content.
And the content must deliver. It absolutely must deliver. So
it shall.
It
is.
A 1,000,000%, and it already is. And it's, if you're watching. Delivery. Wow.
We can track that package.
Okay. This feels like so many different analogies coming together all in one. This is great.
That's what happens when you're ADD and probably with another ADD.
So this is, thanks. I actually do think there's some truth to that. And if you're watching over on YouTube, you're seeing a Summer Julie. This is what I call Summer Julie. If you're watching on YouTube, you get to see it. But those of you who are listening, I never wear trucker caps outside of like mountain biking and things like that. I don't ever do that on podcasts, because my show is a little more professional and things like that. And I'm like, all right, I got to like show up a certain way.
You're saying my show's not professional.
No, I'm not saying your show's not professional. No.
You're saying my show. I'm just kidding.
No, this is more, we're talking about podcasting, and podcasting is a time where you're putting on your creative part. Your creative juices are flowing. They should be. If you were podcasting and you are not like tapping into your inner creative soul, you're kind of missing a whole layer that is going to serve your audience. And so I was like more comfortable, like, no, I'm hanging out with my friend Adam. We're going to do this coaching call. We're all podcasters. So really, I was feeling like kind friendship amongst you and the listeners, you know,
I wore my baseball cap too.
I know.
Man. Pura vida. Do you know what pura vida means?
I don't know. Is it pure life?
It sure is.
Nice.
That's the saying out in Costa Rica.
Dang.
They want the pure life. When I was there, I was like, yeah, that's cool. So I got a hat. And what's your hat mean?
Before there you go.
Talk about monetization and top tier guests.
Yeah. So Adam's hat literally is black and white and says pura vida.
Pure life.
Yeah, pure life. That's what it says. Black and white. And my hat's all, you know, blues, and it has a mountain scene on it, because I'm a mountain girl. So I've got all my mountains to remind me of where beauty is. So everybody has their spot where beauty is.
I just came right now from Natural Grocers. I think they have them all over. So you probably have them even in Idaho. I just came from Natural Grocers and I live in the mountains. And the guy that was checking me out, he goes, "How's your day been?" I go, "It's been great. How's your day been?" He goes, "I woke up in the mountains. That's what I have to say about that." And I'm like, "Yeah, pura vida." All right, let's jump
right.
in.
Jump so, in. Hey, Julie, let's make money. Show me the money.
Ask me the questions.
The question I'll show is you the money. I know. So if there's a little more banter, podcasters, than usual, it's because ADD and summer mode is colliding. So just be gracious. It's all good. Monetizing, right? So I would love to expand what I am doing with Grow Your Show. I love what's taking place. I love the team. I love the culture and the atmosphere and everything, right? It's a great experience. I'm a month-ish in at this point. And so Adam already knows I believe in the rule of threes. And so my company, Three Keys Investments, 3 bites, 3 dates, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years. You get the idea. So we're past 3 weeks on being together as Grow Your Show and working together. So I'm like, okay, this is feeling good. You know, we're past some of the little hurdles that come naturally. So I would love to monetize my show so that I can invest more in my show so that I can reach a greater listenership and serve more people really well.
Nice. Well, your show's had 40% growth so far, 4-0. And usually our clients, but within 6 months, our most clients, not all of them, they're about triple. So like 300%. So we're not at 300%, but I think you can still monetize.
Okay.
I think you'll still be able to monetize. And this is the first takeaway if somebody's listening as well. You have the ability to monetize your show even before you even have one listener. So if you hear somebody saying to you, there's no way you can monetize, you don't have enough listener base, you shouldn't even think about monetizing until something happens, until you have this or have that, or until you've whatever.
I've heard all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're wondering also like, what happens if they tell you how many downloads that you're getting?
Objections, handling the objection. How many downloads? Like, what's the credibility of your show? We like so, you.
Here's really what I would say. So you're at like 3,200 right now, downloads mm-hmm. this month. I would mention, and there's a couple of parts. Actually, we're at over 3,000 already, and we're pouring a lot of the sponsorship monies going into growth. And so we've grown 40% recently, and I have a reasonable expectation of continuing to grow. So even though we're already above 3,000, we're going to be even at a better place. I think that's probably what you would say for that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Once you're big enough, they'll come after you. All bullshit. All right. So because my podcast is very professional, so that stuff is BS. So let's jump in. Julie, you've got downloads on average now per episode?
No, that's altogether.
Per month.
It's the podcast predictor. So I use Buzzsprout. I just pulled it up. We can share it. Do you want me to share it?
You can share it, but a lot of people won't be able to see That's it. True. So we'll still just explain it.
So it just says the podcast predictor is the next episode's 100 or the next segment is 100. Actually, can we break that down? Let's just
let's do a
sidebar and say, hey, what is the podcast predictor? Because yeah, my natural inclination would have been, oh, the next episode, except that I know that, you know, I don't see that on every single episode. So I'm like, let's break down. What is the podcast predictor? What does that actually represent?
Do you want to share your screen just for me so I can?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go over it?
Yep. Boom.
All right. So let me see. So it looks like most of your episodes are getting like 200. 200.
Over time.
Okay. Over time.
This is like all time.
So this is saying displays how many unique downloads we expect your next episode to have within the first 90 days. We forecast. All right. I'm thinking, hey, do you know what?
What?
I want to switch gears for a minute.
Sure.
So I'm looking at these episode titles.
Yeah.
And I don't think most of them are very compelling. So if my team is making them, that's totally fine. We'll work on them and try to get them more compelling. For example, who is Peyton Smith? Sure. It can incite some curiosity, but there's not curiosity about what? Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people's names and we don't know any of them. So I don't think that's a big, big deal. Angel Williams is Conscious Pursuits. It's not selling me on anything. It doesn't make me excited about anything. Eric and Tamara on Vetting Contractors and Keeping the Family Together. That's great. I just think Vetting Contractors and Keeping the Family Together should be first, because that calls out your avatar. And Eric and Tamara Lever should be last, because nobody gives a crap. Nobody knows them. Like, some people know them, their family knows them, but it shouldn't be the first thing. That those first few words are your most, you're a real estate person. That's prime real estate right there, is those first couple of words. So don't waste it with stuff that doesn't compel your listener. Peyton Smith's Conscious Pursuits. I really honestly feel like it should be one of those pursuits. Whatever, what's one of Peyton's pursuits?
Family. Work-life balance.
So maybe it could be work-life balance, and then it would be like Conscious Pursuits of Peyton Smith. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I totally do. And that's an interesting concept, because I remember when I was going through titling things initially, it was, do you lead with the title and then put your guest name? Do you put your guest name and then the title? Do you use episode numbers and put the number first? Do you put that number in the title? You've spoken on this on Podcasts on Podcasting a long, long time ago.
I have my episode numbers. They're not generally part of the title technically, but on the platforms, we put the episode number in and it like puts it as part of the title, even though it's not technically part. Some people do both. Some people will put in, like, you know, episode, you've got 219 up there. Episode 219, as it'll be like EP 219 or whatever the three initials of the podcast. So it might be POP for Podcasts on Podcasting, POP 219. Mm-hmm. And then it has that. A problem is that many of those platforms, you put it in the title, and then it puts it in the title also. And so then you have it twice, and that's overkill. So I like having the episode number, because I like being able to let people know, hey, you need to listen to 219. It's extremely easy to find 219.
Yeah.
And way easier. You can search for it. You can scroll until you get there. You're at 250. So you know it's 30 back. You know what I mean? 31 back. I can do math sometimes. So my point is, like, with the Conscious Pursuits, why don't we highlight something in the very beginning and then maybe just call it Conscious Pursuits of Angel Williams, or even Angel Williams' Conscious Pursuits. That's fine. It doesn't matter so much either way, but maybe putting part of what is going to be spoken about would help. There's a couple of titles that are really good, and that is Vetting Contractors and Keeping Family Together. That's good. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, I need to learn about that. Focusing on Next Steps to Reach Your Goals. That's another good one. Ones that are even better, like even more compelling, are the three ways to do this, or the four ways to do this, or five tips to getting this. So instead of Vetting Contractors, the five things you don't want to forget on Vetting Contractors. Instead of Next Steps to Reach Your Goals, the three steps to reach your goals, the three steps you're not doing that'll help you reach your goals. Now it's like, wait, what? I'm not doing them. What do I need to do? And it's like, you must listen now. So I just want to mention that episode titling is quite important as well, especially if you want to get more downloads per episode. So this predictor is, anyway, there's a lot there. Let's move on to something that I started sharing with the listener a moment ago, and to you, Julie. You don't technically even have to have a single download before you have a sponsor. And people, that messes with their mind. It messes with what they've been told. And it's hard to believe. It's like, what would they're saying? They're already arguing, what's the value if I don't have a listener? It's an obvious statement. If I don't have any listeners, then I don't feel comfortable taking anybody's money. Because what are they getting? And so we're holding that back. So I've gotten sponsor on my podcast, and many clients have gotten a sponsor on their podcast prior to the launch of the podcast. That's what I mean by you can get them even before you ever have a listener. When reaching out to sponsors, Oh, by the way, you always want to be the one to reach out to the sponsor instead of having the sponsor reach out to you. Generally speaking, if the sponsor is reaching out to you more than half the time, they are going off of something called CPM model, cost per mil. That means cost per thousand, which generally just means like they're going to pay you 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 55, or 60 bucks per thousand people that download that episode. With that in mind, if you have, let's say, 1,000 downloads per episode and you do a CPM model, awesome. You just made 20 bucks. 20 bucks. You have 500 people listening to that episode. You made 10 bucks, right? And so more than half the time, if they are going to reach out to you, that means they are playing the field in dating. Let's do a dating analogy. Mm-hmm. They're playing the field. They're reaching out to you. I've been on Tinder recently and I've heard some really bad stories of women that are on there that don't like what happens. These guys are playing the field and they're just looking for one thing, right? And they're going to get it, but they're going to offend a lot of people too. Same thing here with the sponsors that are reaching out to you. They're going to be able to get their $20 CPM, but they're going to offend a lot of people too. There's a lot of people that are not their perfect target that don't want to just have 10 bucks because they had 500 downloads instead of 1,000 or 70,000. But they've been taught that it's fair and not everybody's going to say yes to them, but a couple of people will. And so they'll be able to get in front of these people with very minimal effort. They're throwing out the beginning thing. Not everybody's willing to take it. So it's very minimal effort. When they're reaching out to you, they're going to be testing you against other people and they're going to be dropping everybody who is not their perfect person. So that just means that they're not going to offer you as much as you're worth. When you reach out to them, then in a way, the tables are turned because you have the ability to be the person who's reaching out with the offer. It's going to be $5,000 a month. Doesn't matter if you have a listener or not. It's going to be $5,000 a month. Maybe a lot of people will say no and slap you or be offended. What? $5,000 a month? I'm out. But you're eventually going to find that one that's going to work. So this is the idea is that you want to switch the role. You want to be the one throwing out the number first. And if they are like, oh, 5,000, I would do it. I want to do it, but our budget is only 4,000. I would do it. I want to do it, but what are your downloads? I would do it. I want to do it, but I can't do the amount of contract. All of these things, then you have the ability to, all right, well, let's drop down and do this other thing. Okay. So you've got the ability to do that. So I recommend that you do a couple of things. You're going to start reaching out. You're going to start, step one is you're going to write down a list of all the people that you think share your avatar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So maybe they're not another podcaster. Maybe they are somebody who you've got a real estate show. So maybe on yours, it's the conscious investor, and maybe you're looking for passive investors or something like that. So you could have somebody who helps to vet operators and they charge a fee to do the vetting. You could have somebody who does market research. You could have somebody who is I'm trying to remember what they're called. So you get a lot of passive investors for your deals. Mm-hmm. And there's these companies, and we use one for our deals as well. I'm just trying to remember what type of company, what is the name of it? It's like on the top of my head. Basically, it's an investor portal. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And so you could have like somebody who has an investor portal. Another option is, I'm just throwing out some spitballing a few ideas. Many people in your position, Julie, their avatar needs to access more of their money. This could mean refinancing a house, doing a HELOC. It could mean helping their retirement account be self-directed.
That was so the one that was coming to my mind.
Yeah. Now they can start accessing it. It could be another thing would be I'm trying to remember the term of it. There's this life insurance policy, a whole life insurance policy that's
banking.
Yeah, it's less about the amount that the policy is, but more about them being able to make a double return, to double dip and be able to like put some money aside, and it's making a return and they can invest in your stuff tax-free. So this is like just another really good idea, thinking my people, they need these things. And these companies that we just illustrated briefly share my avatar. These companies would benefit. And then you start looking at how much money each of them have. Like, for example, what would their marketing budget be? How much do they get paid when they get a client? How many clients are they likely to get through my listener? And then you can start to narrow it down. It's possible, I'm just going to throw this out, it's possible that that person who self-directs your retirement account, that they don't charge enough. Maybe they charge $300 and they're only going to get a very small handful. So maybe, possibly, that becomes one that's less in the forefront. So step one is to identify. Step two is to start organizing them into the two things on how much money they have to give and which ones you really truly want to be part of your show, that you would feel really happy that they're part of the show. And you're going to find that maybe one of them gets a 9 and a 9 out of 10. One scores a 9 in how much you want them and a 9 in how much money they have. And that's probably better than somebody who's a 10 and a 5 or a 5 and a 10. And so step two, you'll organize them like that. Step three is you'll identify the first three that you are wanting to call. Step four is that you're going to, please write this down and I'll have you share it with me because I'm doing this in off the top of my head right now. Step four is that you are going to practice the pitch for the top one.
Practice on the one that's like a 9 and a 5.
No, on the best of the best, the one that you're going to practice, you're going to go for your best of the best. A 9 and a 5 is probably going to be kind of low on that. If it's a 5 on you wanting them as part of the thing, that I don't think that's compelling enough for you to reach out to them soon.
So if only practice on the people you actually really want. So it's not practice
in your head.
Okay.
Practice with me.
Okay.
Don't practice with them. Just practice it like in the front of the mirror, on the phone with somebody else, on a coaching call with me. That's where you will do the practicing. And we might be able to get to that on this episode as well. We might be able to share a little bit about that. That step four is to practice. Step five is to actually make that first phone call. You want to figure out the numbers that you're going to be doing, like how much money you're going to be asking for. Why is that? You want to think of questions that you'll ask. I learned this in door-to-door sales. I did a lot of years of door-to-door sales, 2 years as a missionary, which is still door-to-door sales, and then 3 more years of door-to-door sales after in different cities. And I learned that from one of my mentors, he who asks the question controls the conversation.
Yeah.
You want to be careful with that. First and foremost, it can be non-gender specific. He just told me because it was all guys that were on the sales team. She who asks the questions controls the conversations. They who ask the questions controls the conversation. So you can just basically control the conversation where you want it to go, but with certain questions. If you do it completely obviously, then they're going to feel that you're leading them down to a place to get sold. So you want to definitely ask like in a genuine way. And here's some of the things that I might ask. Julie, can we role play with it?
Yes, let's do this.
All right. If you were trying to get from step 1, 2, 3, and 4 as quickly as possible, just throw out the first name of a company, of a person that you know.
Well, golly, there are like 50 that just like went through my head. I'll say Mode Wealth because they're a boutique wealth management.
Okay, perfect. Do you have a contact there?
I do.
Okay, let's call that person Emily. Cool?
Okay, cool.
For now, that's Emily is your contact. So you might reach out to Emily and just say, hey, Emily, I've had my podcast for over 200 episodes and hadn't really thought about inviting a partner of the show because A, I didn't really have anybody that I believed in And B, I didn't want to be having a sponsor for the wrong reasons. But I wanted to reach out to you to find out if that would be even something that you guys are open to partnering with a show just to get more exposure and to make more sales? Question mark. So you're Emily, what would you say?
You're always sending us referrals, you know, and they're always great referrals. I'd love to have this conversation. This sounds interesting.
Perfect. Are you the best person for me to talk to, Emily?
Well, I can gather some information, but I'm going to have to run it by the person above me.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds perfect. I'd appreciate if you run it by them. I really was thinking about working with a company like yours. There's a couple of other companies as well out there, but I don't refer them near as much business as I refer to you. And so you'd be my first choice before reaching out to them. Do you see what I'm doing so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you're creating a little scarcity effect for them.
Yeah.
Psychological, oh crud, I might not be able to land the ship.
Yeah. And oh crud, if I say no, it's possible that somebody else is going to get promoted by somebody who likes me. Yeah, all that
and
scarcity.
Then they're going to be sending the referrals over there because that relationship will be tightened.
Yeah.
It raises a level 100%. Of necessity.
100%. And then you just say, because I love bringing you guys referrals. That's the big thing. And so it's not even really about the money for me. It's about the relationship, the partnership, a win-win. Somebody who I believe in and who also, by the way, listen carefully, who will get a lot of value by partnering with my podcast. Who will, not who could.
Right.
So, and I think it's important to have a win-win relationship with somebody who will get the value by being in front of my listener. So first and foremost, I'm really looking for a 6 or 12 month contract. That's where you want to start. By the way, this is called anchoring.
Okay.
Anchoring. There's price anchoring. There's all sorts of anchoring. And anchors are a big deal. Anchors are what make us feel uncomfortable offering somebody a certain thing. Because if we offer a certain thing, we already have a feeling that they're going to say no, because we're anchored to something. We're anchored to a lower number or a higher number or whatever it is. We're anchored to something else. And so we already feel like they're going to say no. And so we don't even ask. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of us make so many failures in life, because we're afraid to ask. People asking people out at the restaurants, the bars, at the club, wherever they go, at the shooting range, wherever they go, at the mountain biking range. That's where I'll probably go. That's where I want to find my next person, is at the mountain biking range.
The mountain bike range.
It's a thing. It's a thing. It's a range. I don't know. Okay, let's just move on. All right. So basically, you want to anchor. And when I would ask people out, I found that it was never as bad as I ever thought. So I've learned to start things with some type of anchor. So 6 to 12 months. And that's the beginning stage. That's an anchor so that they're not thinking, I'm going to just try it for one episode or 1 month. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, okay, this is a commitment, 6 to 12 months. And then you go in price anchor it. And you'll say, and Emily, honestly, I know you guys make a lot of money with the people that I refer over. And that makes me really, really happy. Eventually, the goal is $10,000 a month on the podcast for the revenue. But I'm not even worried about that right now. I just want something that's really, truly going to be a win-win. You be a part of the show. And I keep bringing as many people as I can. And so what I wanted to consider is, instead of like 12 months and $10,000 a month, how about we start at just a 6 month contract and maybe like $4,500? That's probably the minimum that I could do. $4,500 a month. And that would get you X, Y, and Z. So they've been anchored to $4,500 is now a deal. It's less than half of what you want out of the podcast. And they're thinking 6 to 12 months, and I'm not even going to do 12 months. Let's just do 6. And you could say this as well. And Emily, I want to mention one thing, because since you, by the way, you always assume the sale. Since you're going to talk to your supervisor, since you're going to talk to your boss, it's like assuming that they're going to talk. it's just like painting the picture and it's so obvious that it's really going to happen. You've got to mentally paint that picture for her. So she's like, yeah, I am going to talk to my boss. Mm-hmm. So then what information do I need? It keeps her listening. Since you're going to be talking to your boss, it's probably important that I at least let you know why 6 months is the minimum. It's because I think if you try to do it for just an episode or just a couple of months, you are less likely to actually get those people to convert. And I really want to make sure that you're spending your money wisely. So the 6 months, there's a lot of science. Truthfully, there is a lot of science to this that shows that the longer that you're in front of the same listener, the more likely that you're going to get value. They're going to actually call you. And I want to throw one thing in just because I really like your company and I just want you guys to be the sponsor. I don't want to have to reach out to these other companies. I would like to interview you or someone, a representative from your company, twice within the 6 months, because I don't want it to just be an ad. Like if it was one of these other companies, I'm only going to have them do the ad. But because it's you and I like really care and I really want you to get the value, I want to bring you on the show a couple of times and we can refer to that whenever we talk about you. We can refer to the episodes that you were on, and that can help people go from know, like, to trust a lot faster for you. So let me know what your boss says. And if you have any counter proposals, I'm happy to consider it. That would be a really good one for Emily.
That is like gold.
Yeah.
That was gold. I was actually like playing out that conversation because I work and I refer people to this company constantly, and they're always so grateful. And I'm always like, I'm just happy people have a resource. I'm so happy people have a resource that's credible and trustworthy and blah, 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 you know? So, yeah.
So definitely that would be like the first thing. You picked out some random person. I came up with some random thoughts and ideas. And yeah, we'll really go through steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I think step 5 is to actually call them and do that. But prior to it, you're going to play the conversation in your head in front of the mirror with your coach, with your spouse, with your business partner. You can play that conversation a few times to make sure that it feels natural. A thing about sounding natural is that you don't sound scripted. So basically, even if you kind of have a script, you are going to speak like you're just having that conversation right now. Sometimes the way that that looks is you'll have like some pauses, like I just did. And other times you'll speak directly through. So if you're reading, the cadence is makes you go to sleep. When you're reading, the cadence is the same. There's no like back and forth. There's no like voice inflections that are normal. You're saying a sentence, then you're breathing. You're saying a sentence, then you're breathing. And you never pause. It never sounds like you're thinking. It only sounds like you're telling or reading a script. And then it gets awkward. It gets like, man, what is going on? They've got all this. So even if you practice it, even if you rehearse it, you want to rehearse it to sound natural, like you're just speaking. So not like, hi, Emily, it's Julie Hawley. And the reason that I'm calling you today is because I have a podcast and I would like to have a sponsor and I'm considering you as a sponsor.
I just hung up on you.
Yeah.
Perfect. Like, I'm like, oh, you're so, just yeah, one of just the bots. Like, right.
That's super, super important that the listener and you internalize that. And with monetization, one of the things that you're going to want to think of is what is the number that works for you? And then reach out to the people. And if you want to have more than one sponsor, specifically reach out to more than one person on purpose and say, look, my plan is to have 2 sponsors at 30 second spots and that's it. Nobody else. And ultimately, the plan is to do 5 figures a month off of the sponsorship. I think that's easily obtainable, 10,000 or more. But I don't want to start there. I just want to start by proving the concept to you and your team. And so let's just be at, and then you say the number. Let's just be at 500. Let's just be at 1,500. Let's just be at 2,500. Let's just be at 3,500 or 4,500. Another random part of this.
This is all gold, by the way.
Awesome. Is that a lot of times when you're negotiating, ending numbers not in round numbers is better than ending in a round number. So for example, if you say, let's just do 10,000, then they're not sure if they're overpaying. But if you said 10,000, it's going to be 10,225. Now it's a specific number and they don't feel like they're overpaying. So if you negotiate and you end on a round number like 10,000, they feel like many people, not all of them, they feel like they're not getting a good deal. They're like, why is it 10,000? But as soon as it has a random ending, 10,675, 10,619, 10,538.
What about like the 997, like 9,997?
Well,
does that work or is that that
one? So there's psychology that shows that like 997 looks smaller than 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Or $9.97 looks less than $10. There's definitely psychology there. This is why Walmart, for example, one of the best, Walmart has a lot going for them, regardless of how the listener feels about Walmart. They are big box, whatever. Maybe you're mad at them, but let's just look at it objectively. They are a multi-billion dollar company. And so that means that they have a lot of market research and they end their numbers in random numbers, usually 97 cents, 53 cents. They end their numbers in weird numbers. And part of it is because, at least I feel this way, I could be wrong, they're going as low as they possibly can to the penny. And that's what we should be doing when we're putting out our stats. It shouldn't be, it's 5,000 or it's 10,000. Why can't it be, it's 4,520. It's 9,997, whatever, however you want to do it. Okay. So just remember that if you end it in a odd number, it can help. Odd numbers sound smaller than even numbers as well. So if it ends in a 13579, it'll sound smaller than a 24680. And then if you're negotiating and the person says, can you go any lower? Then you can just say, probably the lowest that I feel comfortable going would be, and then state a non-round number. Instead of probably the lowest I feel comfortable going is 1,000 or 2,000, just say probably the lowest I could do is like 2,115. If you're good with that, let's get it started. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That totally makes sense.
Then they really feel like they're getting, just like I feel if I go to Walmart, I don't usually, but if I do go and I see this random number, I totally feel like they've dropped it to the penny as much as they possibly can. And that's the way they'll feel when we drop it to a random dollar as well. We do that also just when we purchase properties. When we're in negotiations and they're saying 11 million is the smallest that they can go and or the lowest that they can go. And then we'll say, I'm sorry, the absolute highest we can go is 10,815,000. And then they're like, yeah, that's barely different. It's like $100,000 less. And it sounds like they're serious. They came up with a number that obviously took thought. We'll take it. And so we've gotten a lot of deals. We've gotten under contract several times because of that. Anyway, just remember that. So monetizing. Second thing, remember when we, another point to this, remember when we said assume the sale?
Yes.
This is the most important part, assuming the sale. It doesn't mean that you are manipulative. It doesn't mean that you're trying to be a bad person or anything. If you are wishy-washy, if you're uncertain if they're going to become your sponsor, if you're projecting, if you're projecting the if, then they have an if. If you're projecting a when they do, it's going to look like this. And then you're going to do this. If you're projecting things that are stated, like that they can actually see it happening instead of see the question of it happening. Write that down. Then the person is more likely to do the thing. So for example, yeah, I'm excited to work with you. I can't wait to work with you. This is going to be a lot of fun. These are some statements that we can use. I'm excited to work with you. It's going to be fun working with you. When we start working together on this, it's going to do this. This is the type of language that subliminally helps them feel confident that they're going to do it. And when they're seeing themselves doing it and they feel your confidence, they're going to get confident and they're more likely to do it. So don't say, I don't know if you would like to. If you did, we could do it like this. Just be confident enough to say, let's do this. It's going to be a lot of fun and I'm excited to have you and it's going to look like this. That's different language. So anyone listening, you got to remember, try to do that. And here's the truth. For the people that have gone through these four steps and the fifth step with confidence, where it doesn't sound like they're reading it, with our clients that have done that, all but one, really good stats. And I keep every single time a new client gets their podcast sponsor in just one phone call to one person, not a follow-up call. One call, one person, all but except for one time that one client didn't get the first one. And actually, Alex Pardo is a client that got two in two calls. He called the first one, boom. Second one, boom. And he had everything that he wanted in two phone calls. Everything that he wanted from the first and from the second as well. Just remember, get that confidence, because when you do, see how I'm already doing it. When you do have that confidence, you're going to see how I'm still having the confidence and it's putting confidence in you. When you have that confidence, it's going to work. It's going to work. And I've seen it work. I've seen it work with me and I've seen it work with every single client on the very first call, save one person who had to call another person. You probably won't have to have any follow-ups or anything. It'll work on one call. But hone in that number. We do have a template, growyourshow.com/templates, because there's multiple on there. And anyone listening, you can download our sponsorship sheet. It's just a sheet that has some pricing. And that's what we'll end the monetizing part with right now. On the sponsorship sheets, we're going to have to push the top tier guests. On the sponsorship sheet.
I think
sheet,
so. Yep.
On the sponsorship sheet, I like to have three different prices. So in my opinion, the middle price is the one that you want them to do. And you offer all the stuff that you really, truly think you can do easily. And you offer it at the price exactly that you want it or a little bit more. And then you give them a deal. So you're going to give them a number that's not on that paper. That's fine. The highest one is an anchoring one, where it's way more expensive, but only slightly more stuff. But you're okay doing that stuff because it's way more expensive. And you're not planning on anyone doing that. It's just there so that they see the middle one as a cheaper, more affordable price. And then the lowest one is almost the same price as the middle one, but what you offer is way less. So it makes the middle one a no-brainer. A lot of people go for Goldilocks. 10% go for the smallest one. 10% will go for the highest one all the time. 80% will go for Goldilocks every time. And so I just try to help them go to Goldilocks. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I'm also reading a book right now. I don't know if you've read it. What is it? 100 million. I have it right here. $100 million offers.
I've heard of it.
It's interesting. So this is like perfect timing. I was kind of, I knew I wanted to ask this question. And I also know I'm like, I need to become more refined and skilled at presenting offers. And so, yes.
Yeah.
This just gives it like laser focus.
Julie, we can do another coaching call on this anytime, recorded or not recorded. I want to make sure that you can just call one person one time. I feel really confident in this because I've just seen it work. And then let's do top tier guests next time.
Let's do that next time. Yeah, totally. Because the timing, and this has provided so much clarity for me. I mean, like we talked about listing those companies, organizing that list by like how much money and who I actually want, and making that phone call, practicing and making the phone call and creating that winning offer for them. I love this. I love this. It just created a lot of clarity. This is something I've wanted to do, but you've debunked the myth for me. And I needed that. I needed that from the expert authority, Adam Adams, to say,
you're ready.
You don't need to. I feel like a little Padawan learner, you know, at the Jedi, at the Academy right now. Like, yes, Padawan, you're ready.
you are ready. You're going to get this.
Okay. I love it. I'm going to give myself a personal challenge on the show.
Okay.
That's kind of a dangerous thing to do. But it's always good to invite outside accountability, in my opinion, or to just kind of put it out there like you did with your, you know, I'm going to have a six pack by my birthday, and you totally nailed it. Right. And so I'm just going to say
one day early.
Hey, you did it. So I'm going to say in 30 days, what is this? That'd be today's July 13th. The day that we are recording this. I'm just going to say August 15th, because it's an easy number to remember.
Mid-August.
That's my goal. I want minimum one.
And for how much money?
That's the part I haven't thought through yet.
What does it cost you to do your podcast?
Right.
Do you want 2,000? Do you want 7,000?
Yeah. You know, I'm feeling comfortable like 3,000 or 3,500. Cool. And I'm also thinking about how much value I have brought. Like if I consider this company that I mentioned, you know, like considering how much value I've brought to that company. And I know this is where I have more confidence. I'm like, I'm confident because I personally work with that company. And I'm also confident in all the people I have already referred to that company, that it's like seriously a no-brainer. Like they already know, I've already proven I send you business. So I'm like, let's just double down on how much we grow your business. And I know your position to grow. So let's do this.
Yeah. Here, let's do this. And I can keep sending you business.
I love it.
Let them know, hey, let's do this. And I can keep sending you business and it can keep being a win-win. I'm really excited about this. This is going to be fun. Psst. Boom.
Boom.
All right. We better jump off.
Awesome. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Talk soon. Bye for now. You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first six episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first six episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.